do 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 do. Welcome to Idea Factory Giveaway, a guest guided mapping expedition to the borders of human creativity.
I'm John and this is my fault.
I'm Kelly and none of this is my fault.
That's a really good way to read the intro. That's the way it's going to happen from now on. So Kelly, I have a question for you.
Oh, good, yes.
First off, welcome back once again.
Thank you very much. It's lovely to see you.
So something that I've noticed about your kitchen faucet.
Yeah.
Is that you, like me, mm-hmm. you have a portable dishwasher.
I do.
Thing, right?
Yeah.
With kind of like the snap coupler attachment for it.
I do.
So it basically is kind of like, it takes your kitchen faucet and sort of reduces the diameter of it,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's like a nozzle.
Yeah.
So that when you just want to get a glass of water, you get like this pressurized jet
yeah.
that comes out, right?
Yeah.
Does that annoy you?
It only annoys me if I like turn the water on all the way and then I'm like, why? What?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I have a solution for that I can build for you if you would like.
Ooh.
Which basically involves going, because I have the same thing at my house, and it started to just bug the crap out of me. So I went to a plumbing supply store, basically,
uh-huh.
online, and I got, like, a lead-free snap coupler,
yeah.
and then, an adapter, and then an aerator. And you just screw those things together, and you can just snap it on the same way you snap on the dishwasher thing, right? And so then you've just got a regular ass kitchen faucet again. And when it's time to attach the dishwasher, you just uncouple it, and then like it's super easy to attach and detach, and it is very convenient.
I love this idea, and I also don't think that the like high pressure annoys me enough to want to take something off and on again.
Okay,
because I run that like every day.
Oh,
and if I do it every day, it's going to bug the hell out of me.
Fair.
So, yeah. But I do love this idea.
I thought I would make the offer just in case, because...
And I love that you have a solution for this.
I'm serious. It materially increased the quality of my life.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
I'm just putting this out there.
All right. I'm asleep on this.
Very good. Should we perhaps introduce our returning guest?
I think we should.
Erica is back. Erica, welcome back.
Ow.
For those who may have forgotten, what's your deal? Who are you?
My deal is I'm mom of twins, living in the Bay Area.
And you're just fucking rad as shit.
Fucking rad as fuck.
That's true.
I try to incorporate millennial speak into my everyday life, and it's going okay. It's going all right. I use the words extra, and I say like cool AF, and my coworkers shake their heads. But other than that, things are going real well.
Excellent. For those of you who may be listening to this show for the first time, welcome, and here's what's happening. I've been coming up with ideas for literally a decade, and there's just too many. They're all in a big spreadsheet, and it's time to give them away right now. Kelly's here, Erica's gonna help.
Mm-hmm.
If you hear an idea you like, it's yours to run with. I just want credit.
I want a cut.
Nice. What is the first idea that you have seen on the spreadsheet, Erica?
All right, so there's a lot of cocktail-based ideas on here, and I'm here for that.
Yes.
I'm 100% here for that. John, as you may or may not have talked about in your previous podcast, makes a lot of delicious sort of artisanal liqueurs. He once made me an excellent liqueur out of, what was it? It was Halloween candy corn.
Yes.
And it was delicious.
Yes.
It was amazing.
Candy corn vodka is the nectar of the gods.
It is delicious. It'll fuck you up.
It's true.
But so I saw this amazing idea on here, and I think I have like a solution for it, but
incredible.
I need the other half.
Okay.
It's the hot honeycomb cocktail.
Ooh. Yeah.
Which like immediately I'm like, okay, we're sitting by a fire,
mm-hmm.
obviously.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
We're having this delicious cocktail. What's in it? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Except for I think I have an idea for the honeycomb.
Okay.
Is it big?
It's big. You know. I don't know what the voice is. I got a little Mr. T in there. Anyways, so like a honeycomb. Like immediately, like I'm picturing the visual.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds fantastic. But then it's going to be all waxy. Nobody wants to be drinking wax. That's gross. So I'm like, what sort of similar? And I don't know if you've ever had a Violet Crumble candy bar.
Oh, yeah.
You ever had a Violet Crumble?
I've come near them.
I think it's like Canadian or British. And I've been a little confused
by them. And I think I've maybe had a taste and then I think it was
like soft, honey-flavored, honeycomb kind of shaped candy bar that's covered in chocolate.
Okay.
So I'm like wondering if you could like strip out the chocolate. That's my dog who's also part of the podcast now. And like put that into some type of, I don't know, like a hot toddy, like a hot butter rum. Yes. There's the Violet Crumble and there's another one that I'm blanking on right now. There's another version of that. So Violet Crumble, I can't remember the other one, but it's like a British candy.
Flakes, I think.
No, Flakes the chocolate one. I may have to consult the internet briefly. But so I kind of wanted to get your feeling on like, what was your idea for the hot honeycomb?
I don't know.
Well, you know what I realized was like, as soon as you said honeycomb, I thought of the cereal. Which is why I was like, is it big? Like going into the honeycomb jingle?
That's what that was.
Strange thing to do. But and then you started talking and I was like, oh right, a honeycomb is a physical object. That is much more common. Also, I don't know what to do with that either.
Yeah, is there anything in the notes field for that particular idea?
There is nothing.
God damn it.
There's just like nothing, and so I was like, wow, the field is wide open.
Past John fucked up on that one because clearly there's a good idea.
Oh, it's called a crunchy bar.
Okay.
There's a crunchy bar, which is like the British version, I believe.
Okay.
People who are British can write in and yell at me. But you don't know where I am. Then the Violet Crumble, I think, is the Canadian version.
Maybe. Okay.
But just a quick survey of the internet, looks like there's many recipes out there for, like, homemade honeycomb candy.
That stuff.
Yeah, so if you take that and you put it, like, in a... Like a hot toddy?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, I think that'd the idea delicious. Was like it's a hot cocktail into which some kind of honeycomb like thing is, and so like you stir it, and then like it gradually flavors the cocktail. So it gets better and better the more that the longer it sits.
I like that.
Do you think it would be hot enough to melt the wax or not? Like,
the wax bit, I think, is probably
like an actual honeycomb that would just get disgusting.
Yeah, although some people I think like to chew on the, you know.
They do.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, so something where it's like it's got candy, something that dissolves as you stir, and it makes your cocktail better and better the longer it sits.
It's like it's almost like those rock candy coffee stirrers that were like a thing in the 90s.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm.
Like that, but with honey.
Yeah.
Crystallized honey.
And if you've ever been to like a Costa Coffee in the UK, they sometimes do like a mocha with a flake in it.
Oh.
And the flake melts into it.
Oh.
So here's the thing, is like they're doing that in cafes, but I think you can up level that. Like what other kind of candy can you melt?
Yeah. No, I don't know. These are all good questions.
You know, into your cocktail as you eat it. So you can, like, half eat the candy and half drink the cocktail and have a really bad hangover.
The thing about all of the candy...
just be completely messed up the next day.
The candy booze infusions that I would do, the trouble with them is that they take a couple of days. But, I mean, I'm working with, just like room temperature booze, right?
Right.
If it was like a hot glass of something,
yeah,
it's possible that could be sped up considerably. I don't know, because I've not done that experimentation. I think that we have just opened up a field.
That sounds like a fun, like, fall time experiment.
Yeah.
I'm picturing the t-shirts.
Fantastic. That would just be a great idea for a party in general. Like, everybody, like, you know, we're gonna have like there'll be a kettle constantly boiling. There's an array of tea bags, and then like just your goal is to bring a booze or like something you want to dissolve, and let's just see how that works.
Yeah, I really like that idea, and I'm like trying to think of other candy bars that I think would be really good. And honestly, I keep shifting to a lot of the British ones. Honestly, they do a better candy bar. I'll fight anybody who says otherwise.
I have heard the same. So,
like, have you ever had an Aero Bar?
I have. Those are quite good.
That would be delicious.
Mm.
An Aero Bar. Mm. You could do some type of like mint chocolate Irish coffee.
The trouble with chocolate though is that it doesn't really dissolve well.
No, you get like the little clumps and stuff on the bottom.
Yeah. Yeah, like hard candy, you know, like that shit.
Hard candy, yeah, that dissolves very well.
I would be interested to know how long it would take to dissolve a couple of like candy corns in something that was actually hot. Because like, you know, candy corn vodka is
like,
it takes
a
couple of days.
Yeah, I feel like they would just like.
It seems possible. Again, let's reconvene at ToddyCon.
Okay,
I'm just gonna make a tea bag full of Red Hots.
Oh my god!
Just start putting in that.
We definitely have to listen. Let's reconvene on this in the fall.
Yes,
and
yes.
We'll make it happen.
Good idea.
Like it.
my next idea.
Yes.
And again, there is no notes. There is a date.
Okay.
This is from September 3rd, 2007.
Oh,
I'm sorry, 2017.
Okay.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Well, it's a little bit better. The Everywhere Butler. Uber for baby pants, quote, just one thing I forgot.
Ah, yes. Yes, okay.
None of that made any sense to me.
Okay.
But I was deeply intrigued.
Absolutely.
So, this is an idea for, it's basically a service that would be very hard to execute, but it's the kind of thing where it's sort of like, if you were like, I mean, I always picture, I don't have a butler, but I've always pictured this, right, as like, because usually the butler is the guy who is at your house, right? But imagine if you could summon a butler literally anywhere you were who would do stuff for you. So, for instance, if you leave the house, you have, like, you've gone to brunch with your pals, and you brought your baby, and your baby had kind of a poop problem, and you go to change your baby, and you realize, oh, fuck, I don't have a spare outfit.
Yeah.
You basically, like, you bust out your phone and you, like, you bring up the Everywhere Butler app, and a guy just shows up where you are and is like, sir, can I please have the keys? And then he just goes to your house and he gets the fucking baby pants and he brings them back for you.
Interesting.
So it's
like a Postmates, but for stuff from your house.
Yeah, but you know, just or for anything that you would want a butler for.
Yeah,
but not confined to your house and summoned via an app of some kind. I would probably be like a fairly. It would either be like a per transaction thing, or perhaps maybe like a monthly subscription fee of some kind.
Yeah,
but it would have to be pretty hefty because these are like. These are, you know, like, they're fairly time-critical tasks that need to be, I would imagine, right?
Yeah.
So stuff like that.
I like this idea. Mainly, I've also been intrigued by the idea of butlers.
Mm.
I was a big fan of Jeeves and Wooster.
Yes.
If you ever watched that.
Absolutely.
Stephen
Fry is a fucking gem.
Mm-hmm.
And who among us who has watched that hasn't wanted to have a Jeeves in their life to like solve their romantic crises, pick out their outfits,
generally sort out their life,
and just throw shade at things they don't like. Like there's a lot of shade throwing, especially about like hats.
Yeah, it's really good at,
you know, like somebody help keep you shade. In line. And like I like that idea, so I almost wonder if like a part of this, like, you could have that like one-off butler.
Yeah.
But you can maybe also have that butler at another level who, like, actually gets to know your life a little bit. So they understand sort of your tastes, you know, things you don't do so well, where stuff is in your house. Aria, please be quiet. We're talking about butlers. you know, so you don't quite have to pay a full-time butler, but maybe you're paying for, like, a quarter of a butler.
Okay, here's an important question that I just realized that I should probably ask. Is there a difference, do you think, in this day and age between a butler and a personal assistant?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
So a butler is a deeply understands etiquette.
Okay.
And sort of like personal interactions, I think, on a level that a personal assistant isn't expected to.
Ah.
Like, they're there to give you advice, not just do what you ask.
Ooh.
You know, so you can kind of trust them in one level beyond a personal assistant.
Yeah,
Like, you would tell your personal assistant, like, go buy this book for a present for my friend's kid.
Sure.
But you would tell a butler, I have to go to this birthday party, and they will just, like, handle it. Like, I think that's... Especially, like, as a mom now,
yeah.
I need somebody in my life who can just do the thing I ask without me having to, like, project manage it.
What if it wasn't even, like, a butler so much as a sort of, like, a, like an app that would give you access to sort of, like, an on-call staff where, like... I say this because I just finished watching the first season of that Netflix Queer Eye, where like instead of just one guy, right? Like there's a bunch of people.
Can we say
like,
how beautiful that series is?
Oh, it's so fucking good. And like where each one of you know like depending on what task you've got, like there's an expert on hand who can be like I know exactly what you need.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like yes.
Maybe it makes more sense in this day and age to have that be more diversified.
Yeah.
But there is, I have looked into it, there is still several butler schools that are in the UK churning out real butlers and ladies-in-waiting. They still exist.
Is that what a lady-in-waiting is?
Yes.
I had no idea.
But lady-in-waiting is more like courtly, isn't it, than ladies' maid?
You have a ladies' maid or a lady-in-waiting.
Oh,
I think they're
shit.
Somewhat sort of the same, or maybe I'm just a misinformed American, which is very possible. But it's like, you can have a ladies' maid or a butler.
Yeah, okay.
You know? Personally,
and there is a lot of inside knowledge you need to have for that.
I mean,
based solely on those two episodes of Downton Abbey that I watched.
Based solely on television. Yeah, exactly. Which is where we get all of our information.
And pretty much.
Yeah, there is a lot.
But you need to know how to, like, brush a suit and also do someone's hair. And like
also, like, with Jeeves. Like, Jeeves always knew. He knew all the players. Right?
Yeah.
He knew all the players in the game. So if you were going to somebody's house for dinner, they'd be like, here's the rundown.
Yeah.
Oh.
Here's what you're walking into. This person is allergic to shellfish, and this person is bad at investing and
right.
is deeply in debt to the mob.
Ooh.
And this, and like, just give you the lay of the land.
Oh.
Bingo Little's uncle has a soft spot for romance novels.
Exactly. All of these things. And like, I wish I had that. I mean, yeah, you can go in like small talk, but you're not really going to get to the root. Part of the issue.
Yeah.
And that's the amazing thing about butlers. They're not just your personal assistants. They are your life guides.
Yeah.
They are the, like, cricket on your shoulder. You know, telling you what to do.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't know if there's a way to outsource that.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I mean, like, the fees for this service is so high.
So why only rich people have butlers.
But I mean, fuck! Like, if you know, like 10 people all got together and pooled their resources, and they had like one butler between them all. Like, how many people do you think one butler can effectively service?
I think it depends on how complex their lives are.
Fuck! All right, yeah, a butler to person ratio. I want to know what that is.
I think it's no more than 4 to 1.
That's the maximum. Yeah.
Huh.
Maximum.
All right. I was going to go like up to like 10, honestly.
Oh, no.
You don't think?
No.
Huh.
There's too many variables and like too many people.
That's probably
People's
true.
Lives are so complex.
I suppose that's true.
Yeah.
I suppose that's true.
But I mean, 10 to 1 if they're all in the same household.
Yes. Yeah.
For sure.
If they're all part of like the same social circle, maybe, right?
Yeah, see, easier if people are interconnected.
I feel like that would get messy. That'd get messy real fast. Because then it's like the butler is saying information about you to your friends. Then you got butler drama.
There, but there might be protocols in place for exactly that sort of thing. Where like, you know, like there are certain levels of confidence. This is me like making an assumption about butler culture that I know.
Well, this is like
about.
Another thing that was in Jeeves and Wooster is that like butlers all had their butler club thing,
right.
Which is
great.
And the Ganymede, and they wrote down. How did I pull that out of my ass? I don't know. But they like wrote down things about the people they worked for in this book.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that the other butlers who might be in their service later would know what they're getting into.
Oh, fuck. Oh.
But it's also like all your secrets were in this book.
Right.
That could be checked out by any butler in the club.
Wow.
Right.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Like that hideous app that like let you review people you dated a couple of years ago.
Oh, God.
It was just this like crime
against
humanity.
That was terrible.
I read about it, but I never,
It was a terrible thing.
We've all emotionally blacked it out. It no longer exists. But, I mean, that's the thing. Is like when you have somebody on your personal staff, it's like a huge, like, trust leap that you're taking with that person to invite them into your life.
That's true.
And I think that's why you pay them so much. It's like half because of the work they do and half because of the secrets that they're keeping.
Yeah.
You know, especially like Silicon Valley, that could be like, you know, corporate secrets. That could be. There was some amazing stuff that actually came up during the Uber Waymo trial, in which a nanny of a guy at Uber, an engineer at Uber, testified and gave a lot of really incriminating testimony because she overheard all this stuff, and he was a terrible employer, and so she was happy to throw money.
There's a fucking lesson for you.
Yeah. Don't be mean to the help.
God damn.
Don't be mean to the help.
Yeah, why would you?
Ever.
Well, yeah.
All right, on that note, what is next? What else have we got on the spreadsheet?
This is a pretty timely, I think, coming up on midterm elections here in 2018. Is drink the vote. Drink the vote is inviting people over to drink and read the propositions.
Yes.
So this is a really great idea.
There's
a couple things sort of in this space right now, but not as articulate.
Well, no, I think I wrote this down because somebody else had the idea. Like, I got an email
about Elise's idea.
Yes, yes.
Or Elsie's idea.
Yeah, it was totally Elsie's idea. Yes, absolutely. And I wanted to capture it just because it was so fucking good. Yeah, like, she would invite people over and be like, we're just going to be fucking drinking, but we're also going to be reading these goddamn propositions so that we can all talk about them and then, like, just figure out how the fuck we're voting on them, because there's a billion goddamn
propositions. Because how many of us, like, the morning of, are, like, going through the propositions being like, wait, what?
Yeah.
No, I would totally do that, because I always have to set aside the night before to study.
Yeah.
To do your cramming.
So basically, because I like stuff. Because I've gotten to the point where I try not to, like, take in any political news, like, until it's time to vote.
Right.
Because I'm like, you know, just
pre-2016, we had that luxury.
Now I can't do it.
Yeah.
Now I have to pay attention. But so the night before, I'm you know, studying.
Yeah.
Seeing, like, comparing League of Women Voters and League of Pissed Off Voters and, like, who's voting what on what.
Totally.
And if there were other people and there were booze, I'd be a lot happier about it.
Exactly. Yeah, so that was her notion, and it was fucking great. I never went, but I was always like, that is a good goddamn idea.
I think it's a really good idea, and even if you could have, you almost do, not a debate, but have people presenting both sides.
Well, yeah, and
you're having some drinks.
If they need to, right? If they need to.
Maybe, like, there could be some heckling.
There's some propositions that are always kind of like, obviously, like, oh, we're voting no on that.
Or here's the thing, is, like, recently, especially in San Francisco, we have so many propositions in San Francisco. I remember last year or the year before, there was a bunch of stuff about, like, fake grass. Do you remember this?
I had probably moved to Oakland.
Oh, you moved to Oakland. Okay. Welcome to San Francisco politics. There was, like, a whole thing about fake grass.
That's right.
Fake grass on soccer fields. And part of me was like, fake grass, that's stupid. Like, or no, part of me at first was like, fake grass, great, we'll save some water. And then they were like, maybe the fake grass is giving the kids cancer. And I'm like, oh, I don't like cancer, though. This is hard. And then there was a thing about lights on the soccer field. I'm like, lights are good. People can play soccer at night and it's safe. I like it. And they were like, no, no lights because
reasons.
Hobos, I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know. There was something about that and no lights. Lights are bad. And you're just sitting there and being like, I don't know how to, like, I'm not part of this particular part of this community, like, because it was in the sunset,
sure,
and I live in Bernal,
totally,
and I feel like I'm trying to help them,
right,
but I'm not helpful. But if I could go to a place where I could at least drink,
yeah, and talk about it with some other people,
yeah, because they say drinking by yourself is a sign of alcoholism, so if you're drinking with other people,
yes, exactly. And I think, I don't know if this is, I think that in my mind this is attributed to the Persians, I could be wrong, but that thing of, like, they, whenever they had to make an important decision, they would get fucking hammered and then talk about it. Because, like, you know, like,
truth
all your, yeah, exactly.
In vino veritas.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
I think this is a really good idea, and I know there's been a lot of other things, like, what's it called? There's, like, Glam the Vote, or there's a bunch of different things that are happening right now to get people really invested in the midterm elections, because they are really, really important, especially, I mean, this year more than ever.
Yes, yeah, for sure.
I mean, I feel like midterm elections are always important, but
like, this year, it's like, it's
a big deal.
Yeah.
They're really, really important. So if anybody can take this idea and run with it, now
yeah.
and get something in time for November. I think that would be huge. Because maybe. I think people want to be involved and they are just looking for ways to easily be involved that involve drinking.
There should be a, I think what I'm picturing is a series of nights that like, you know, like once every couple of weeks there's a drink the vote night at every bar.
Yeah.
Where like, you know, there's just, you've got like a few informed people on hand to be like, okay, here's the thing we're talking about tonight. This motherfucker. Like, here's his voting record. And you know what I mean? Where it's sort of like, right, because, and then it'll just give you some idea of who not to vote for or who to vote for or whatever.
Right.
Like, you know, like, drink the vote. Here's like, we're going to talk about these five fuckers who are voting or like running for this office. And let's just get it out there. Here's their stuff. And then, you know, and then, but it's just like, the presentation is just like a five-slide PowerPoint. It's just like, here's this person, here's their beliefs. Next, next, next. All right. Drinks are half off for the next hour. Everybody just, like, let's just, you know, there break is, up into groups and just talk.
You know what there is? And I'll look this up later and maybe try to, like, what do you call it? Twitter it? Snap it and put it up. But there is a group of UX designers here in San Francisco that's explicitly put together a voting guide.
Yes.
Every election that really breaks things down in really simple ways.
Oh, I've seen that.
So I feel like them and like bars.
Yeah.
They need to like come together and make a beautiful baby.
Yeah.
A beautiful midterm election baby.
God.
That's a good idea.
Like, we just need good UX and we need good booze and then people make good decisions.
I love it.
That's the slogan. Good UX, good booze, good decisions.
Done.
2018.
Oh, fuck yes. I
ship
love it.
Ship it. It's done.
Is there anything else on the script?
Yes, and this is like a wild right turn.
Okay. All
right,
here we go.
Hollow Point Sawdust Bullets for Vampires. I saw that and I was like, oh, that's a really good idea.
I don't know that anybody has ever put that in a vampire book.
No, and here's the thing is I've read many vampire books.
Yeah.
I have watched a lot of vampire TV and a lot of movies.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen that. Well, so here's the thing.
Yes.
Here's the thing you have to fully understand or come to a conclusion about is...
Yes.
What is it about the vampire, like, wooden stake through the heart that kills them?
I don't know.
Is it the wood as a property?
I don't know.
Is it the wood plus the shape? Because it's obviously not the shape on its own. We know that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, okay, so there actually, this relates. I know that this is in the spreadsheet. It's on the spreadsheet somewhere. It's a question, which is, what is the LD50 of wood for vampires? Like, what is the minimum dose of, like, if I stab Dracula with a fucking toothpick in the heart, does it have the same effect? That's made of wood.
Know.
Like, okay, so how?
What
big
about
does it
a bamboo
have?
Skewer?
Yeah, exactly. A chopstick, perhaps. You know what I mean? Like how much
yeah,
wood?
Guys, yeah.
At what point does it become a steak and not a skewer?
Yeah, and right. and like, what if I take that steak and I grind it up into sawdust and I just like shove it down his throat? Like, does that kill? We don't know what presumably. So yeah, so if I take like, let's say a 45 round, like a hollow point 45 caliber bullet, and I fill that hollow point with sawdust and I shoot a vampire with it, is that enough wood to kill them?
How much wood could a hollow point shot? What? I don't know.
Yeah, so that's that basically is the idea. I don't know. I mean, like, okay, like maybe not one round, but like, what if like I had like an Uzi and I filled a clip full of them and I shot that, you know, like I emptied the entire clip into the vampire.
Right.
Like, what is, at what point does the concentration of wood become sufficient to turn the vampire into burning dust or whatever it is? That's the question that I'm asking here.
But I mean, I think vampires are fascinating in so much as their mythology changes so much.
Oh yeah. Right.
From book to book, from movie to movie, from TV show to TV show. And yes, I've watched the Vampire Diaries. I have read every like interview with the vampire, Anne Rice novel. I've done all these things, and like, it's interesting to see like what artistic license they've taken.
Totally.
Not saying that like vampires are real, so you have to take artistic license, but you know,
but
what rules
like
they decide to
can.
Follow.
Yeah.
Because there are some places in which like vampires can be in the sun.
Yeah.
If they're old vampires, they can briefly be in the sun.
Right.
Oh, right. Yeah,
or
yeah.
if another can, like, oh, they like,
if they just put on a lot of sunscreen, they'll be fine.
Right.
Or they sparkle. I don't know. I didn't actually.
Yeah.
I only watched the Twilight movies with riff tracks, which I highly suggest everybody do. It's amazing.
I believe
it'd be
this.
So much better than actually reading those books.
Oh, don't read them. Don't read. And this is the first time I'm ever saying, like, don't read a book. Like, don't read those books. But, you know, I don't know what the rules are. But I like that idea. I think that's a really, like, creative.
And, like, I don't know if... Okay, so, and you've never encountered this notion in all of your survey of vampire-related lore.
That is
fucking fascinating.
No, I feel like most vampire lore that I have read, like, they don't get into modern technology quite as much.
Mm.
They're more about, like, sunshine, garlic.
Mm.
Well, I mean, like, the thing is... Have they experimented with, you know, just stabbing them in the heart? Because it seems like that works on pretty much everybody.
Well, beheading is pretty much the universally.
Sure.
Like, if you cut off the head of anything, it's dead.
Yeah.
Like, the end. But, like, no, I don't think a lot of places have, like, just stabby-stab.
The bullets in Blade's gun are silver with garlic hollow point.
Oh, okay. Right. But that's again, a nice touch. That's can we go back to the Blade conversation? Yes. John started an amazing conversation on the internet recently about Blade 1 versus Blade 2.
Blade 1 is the superior movie. Yes.
High five.
Yes.
Also has a far superior soundtrack.
The soundtrack is
Great. Fantastic.
But I think the first Blade movie is more ridiculous. It doesn't have any, like, okay... At the very end, there's the sword fight, which has, like, got some CGI going on in it. But for the most part, it's pretty much just, like, stunts.
And anybody who's against... Like, somebody on your feed was like, oh, well, at least Blade 2 doesn't have Steven Dorff in it. I was like, I'm sorry, you didn't like that?
I thought...
What's wrong with
yes,
him?
Yes, yes. Also,
he's a fantastic villain.
I also think that Steven Dorff kind of looks like an evil Matt Fraction, which makes it kind of better. But here's the thing is that Blade 2 also featured that had bad CGI fighting, A, and B, criminal misuse of Donnie Yen.
True.
Like, that dude didn't get to do anything rad. And so, I'm not saying that it's a bad movie, I'm just saying it's not as good as the first Blade movie.
Blade's a fantastic movie.
That's all I'm saying.
They're gonna remake that, aren't they?
Huh?
Is what I heard on the internet somewhere.
It's probably only a matter of time.
I mean...
Because it's like a weird thing where, like, the rights of Blade went to, like, a different...
Yeah.
Production company than, like, some of the other Marvel ones. And
totally.
So, like, they're owned by somebody else, but it's, like, almost up.
Yeah.
Talking in vagaries, buddy.
For those who are not aware, Blade is a Marvel Comics character. So, technically, Blade was, like... I mean...
He was one of the first Marvel movies that was done.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. If you think about it.
But I don't know who else...
Yeah,
I don't know who else could be.
Wesley Snipes is kind of like
kind of it. I almost said like Michael B. Jordan, but like,
that was where I went too.
You can't have Killmonger then all of a sudden become Blade.
That's true.
That would be weird.
Yeah, no, that's.
But I'm kind of not ready to let go of Michael B. Jordan.
That's fair. That's
I think he'd be a great Blade. Okay, now ship it. I don't care. Michael B. Jordan's a new Blade. The end.
We have now reached that part of the podcast where we give a terrible recommendation or showcase an idea from our guest or our co-host. Anybody have an idea or a terrible recommendation?
My only idea is Michael B. Jordan as Blade, so...
That's fair. That's a good one. That's a good
what
one.
What else you got?
Kelly, anything?
No, I think you should all invite friends over with dogs so that you can hang out with their dog all evening.
I'm
having
over,
a fabulous time here.
I brought over my Chihuahua Dachshund mix, Arya.
She's delightful.
Yes, named after the Game of Thrones character. Actually, we'll... You know, if I push up my nerd glasses, she's named after the Song of Ice and Fire character, pre-Game of Thrones. But anyways.
Sing it, Arya.
She's a fantastic animal.
I agree.
And delightful to pet.
I agree.
It's very, very sweet.
Unlike Arya from the show.
Well, that's... I think that we're good. Perhaps it is time to talk about where we can be found on the internet. I am on Twitter and Instagram as Ferocious J, the word ferocious, the letter J. That's also my tiny letter, which I send out every couple of weeks, basically whenever I update the show. It's very good. Sorry. I send it out when the show updates. I guarantee it's exactly the kind of thing that you can happily read over breakfast or while you are bored at work. Where can you be found?
I am on Instagram as Enthusiosity.
I can be found at Erica, E-R-I-K-A, on Twitter, and on Instagram, E-R-I-K-A-N-J. My dog can be found on Instagram.
Oh, really?
At Aria underscore the underscore Chowini. I need to update it. Yes. But there's some great photos of her. She's fantastic.
Yeah, she's getting a new follower this evening. This podcast is available pretty much anywhere you listen to them. Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Google Play Music. Whatever platform you're using, consider leaving us a nice review or rating, as it helps more people discover us and increases the chance of one of the ideas you've just heard actually being picked up by somebody out there.
I command that this be done.
Lo, then the ratings flowed like honey.
Thank you for listening, and remember, if you've heard an idea you like, go ahead and do it. I just want credit.
I just want a cut.
I just want Michael B. Jordan as Blade.